The first scripture reading comes from Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. And that can be found on page 53 in the Bible in the pew there. Listen and hear God's word. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all I command you, and you, your brother Aaron, shall tell Pharaoh to let Israelites go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and I will multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh does not listen to you, I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring my people, the Israelites, company by company, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites from among them." Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Thanks. Well, it's always great to be back in the pulpit after a week away. I kind of, especially now, in the middle of August, I feel like I can see the whole year stretching out ahead of us, and I can't wait to see how God's going to continue what he's been doing this past year and bring to completion a lot of the things that he's put upon our hearts and upon our minds to do together. I'm super excited about this year, and I hope you all are as well. We went to Myrtle Beach. No golf. 20 people in one house. 10 of them were children, all Bronkoma children, between the ages of 7 and 17. And every single one of those kids, and this is the first time that this happened, every single one of those kids had something electronic that they were either playing a game with or reading a book, or most of them were doing both at once. I never understood that, but probably the lowest point of the whole trip was the first night that we got there. So there are 5 girls and 5 boys, and the girls tend to be the oldest of the 5, and the boys tend to be the youngest. So the 5 oldest girls demanded that everyone watch the final episode of The Bachelorette. It was painful. It was. I'm so glad that we just got a TV and we haven't had one for 2 years and haven't had to deal with those shows. If you watch that show, please come talk to me, because you need help. I mean, you really do. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. They were crying, and the girl, the boy that she loved laughed, and then the boy that loved her, she said no to, but then it was never again. We had a great time. We did, in spite of that, but it is so great to be back. And we've had back-to-back-to-back weddings these weekends, and it's been so much fun to be a part of their stories and see how God has brought these couples together, and most of them have been able to see how God literally has been a part of their matchmaking, how they heard God's voice that this is the person for you for the rest of your life. Yesterday, Bob Weaver passed away. I'm not sure if you all got the word yet. And after months of medical and pharmaceutical confusion and overload, Bob and Norma last week asked for a sign, for some direction and advice. And Friday night he played cards with Norma and friends and seemed fine and died peacefully in his sleep on that evening. So what was God trying to say as they requested a sign? Was God trying to say it's time? Or maybe the sign was in the fact that a nephew who's a first responder and wasn't supposed to be on the shift that morning happened to be the first one there to meet his aunt, who especially needed him in this raw, immediate moment of grief. Maybe that was God saying to Norma, "I've been with you all along. I will never leave you or forsake you." We don't always hear when God is trying to tell us something. We don't. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we get it and it stays with us for a moment, but we don't always hear it or we don't always understand it. What we find in our gospel reading today in John is a primary reason for why we may not hear when God is trying to tell us something. So let's turn again to the Gospel of John. What did Pastor Bob Larson preach from last week? Was it from John? No, y'all, were you here? Were you? Well, let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 36b through 43. Whenever you see that funny B, it just means the second part of that verse. So let's look at the second part of verse 36. After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. Although he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. And this was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they might not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." And Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke about him. But nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable to your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
You, I bet you think I don't know nothing.
All of us have been prodigal children one time or another. And I tell you, children, it's possible for the Lord to drive you home. But he can drive you home to truth. And he can fix it for you if you trust him.
Shh. Listen. God's trying to tell you something.
Y'all sing God's trying to tell you something.
Sing God's trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
Speak to me.
Speak, Lord.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Won't you speak to me?
Speak, Lord.
I'm so blind.
Speak to me.
I was so lost.
Speak, Lord.
Until you spoke to me.
Lord,
yes, speak to me.
Speak, Lord.
Speak
see, Daddy, sinners have soul too.
Favorite scenes of all time in a movie called The Color Purple that reminds us that the voice of God comes to everyone. I mean, everyone. When the preacher is preaching, the party on the pond continues. I wonder if you noticed that, but it wasn't until they start singing in the church when the preacher's daughter, who was in yellow, she had her attention grabbed. And then when she hugs her daddy and says, "Sinners have a song," her dad almost reluctantly at first, but then completely hugs her back. It took the singing in the church in order to get her attention. And to hear that God is trying to tell her something, but we need to know that each one of us, it takes a different medium. Not necessarily singing, that may not be what allows you to understand that God is trying to tell you something. Maybe it is the preaching, where you're able to hear that God is trying to tell you something. Or maybe it's someone who cares for you. Or maybe it's that charitable act of giving, or that gentle touch, or that smile that maybe you just kind of see randomly that someone throws out your way and you grab and you hang on to it. Whatever it is, God is trying to tell you something applies to all of us. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter where we are in our lives. But we don't always hear what he tries to say. Let's look at our first reading when we look at Exodus. It seems like in this story of which we all know, of Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh is the only one in all of Egypt who doesn't hear what God is trying to tell him. All the other people get it. Look at chapter 7, verse 5 specifically. And what you find in verse 5 is that all the Egyptians shall know, so they figured it out. All the Israelites shall know, they also knew and were told by God and understood that Moses was going to be leading the people out. It was only Pharaoh who wasn't able to hear and understand that God was trying to tell him something. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like you're the only one who doesn't get it? No, they called me Woody in college, you know, Woody from Cheers, who doesn't normally get it. So I'm often in that situation. I understand. But I guess if you're Pharaoh, it doesn't really matter. Until your firstborn is taken from you, then all of a sudden things change and it becomes drastically important to understand that God is trying to tell you something. Let's go to our Gospel of John. And what we find in the Gospel of John is the reason why. It's a very clear and yet very convicting reason for why when God tries to tell us something, either by speaking or giving us a sign or pricking our conscience, that happens as well, that sometimes our hearts are just hindered and we're simply not able to receive what he's trying to tell us. If you look at verse 43, we get the answer at the very end of that very last verse that we read together. And what we read here is that the reason we cannot hear or understand when God is trying to tell us something is that we love human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Let that sink in for a moment. That's our memory verse. That's our underlying verse. That's the verse you're going to take home with you. Here's another way of, excuse me. Here's another way to hear that verse, a different translation. We love the honor that people give to us rather than the honor that God gives to us. So we're going to work our way backwards in our John verses. We're going to start first at verse 43, see the point of the whole passage for this morning. Then we're going to go back to verse 36b where we started out. And hopefully we're going to be able to leave the sanctuary today understanding that what we ought not to love, what we ought to understand is that what people can give us, we can't love over what God has already given us. So let's unwrap the concept. Let's look at verse 36b. And what we find, and just to set the context, Jesus has entered into Jerusalem. This is the last week of his life. He has crowds of people following him. And so what he needs to do and what he feels like he needs to do is just kind of disappear for a moment. Run away from the crowds and actually hide from the crowds. That's what 36b says. He went and he hid from the crowds. Especially this week with the car of Diana being flashed before our minds. Have you seen that? Once again, it's back up in our minds once again, where this image of someone trying to flee and run away from people who are pursuing them and wanting their time and wanting their attention. That's what was happening here in these verses. Jesus just wanted to get away for a moment. And then the following verses after verse 36, so from 37 on, we get kind of a reflection, a place where the gospel writer steps back and kind of looks at everything that has happened up to now. Like we said, we're in the last week of Jesus' life, so this is a good time to have a little reflection, to take inventory of, so how did we do? Who's following Jesus now? How effective has his ministry been after all these years? And so we read in verse 37 the recognition that, you know what, after all these years, people still don't believe in his signs. People still don't believe in his signs. And I've said this a couple times as we looked at the Gospel of John. When we hear the word signs, what do we really mean? We mean his miracles, okay? Jesus has performed 6 miracles in the Gospel of John up to now, and he's not going to perform any more except for the resurrection. We have seen all 6 of those miracles. At the end of the Gospel of John, when we finish it, we're going to have a final exam. So now we're going to have a quiz. 6 miracles. I'm just going to ask, see if you can name 3 of them. I'm going to take it easy on you today. So let's go ahead. Let's hear it. See if you can tell me 3 of the miracles that have taken place that we've looked at over these last 2 years that have been on your heart and on your soul ever since you heard the Word of God preached from them, right? So go ahead. Tell me 3, at least 3 of those miracles. Lazarus. That was the easiest one because that was the most recent. So good job, Jim. You got it right there. So Lazarus, that's one. Okay, fishes and the loaf, so that would be the multiplication of the fish and the loaf, the feeding of the 5,000. 2, someone said the first one, water and the wine. Can we keep going? The healing of the blind man, that's 4. Oh, these last 2 are difficult. But then, and I have to look at my notes. The healing of the official's son in chapter 4, if you remember that. And then the guy laying by the pool, the paralytic at Bethsaida. And he was healed. So those were the 6 signs that Jesus gave the people of Israel. Honestly, those were the 6 signs that Jesus gave to us. And signs, we said, are these indications, these mouthpieces that shout out, don't look at the results of this act. Look at the Father. Look at your Creator. See what He can do. And the Creator is trying to tell us through these signs, I am in control of heaven and of earth. And Jesus is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Believe in Him as the way, the truth, and the life, and you will have eternal life. That's what that sign is saying. It's a big sign, a really big sign. Any one of these signs probably would have worked for us. But we read in these verses that they did not believe in him. But then when you get to verse 42, it's almost as if there's a clarification of that. Well, actually, a lot of people did believe in him. And in fact, look at verse 42. And in fact, some of the authorities, the most important people of that society, believed in him. But they were really afraid. They were really afraid to tell anyone about it because they didn't want to get kicked out of the church. So you had this whole group of people who believed in Jesus but weren't going to admit it because they didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue, which would have been the church in those days. And that's too bad because they lost their chance. Because when Jesus goes and hides, they're not going to see him again in public until he's up on the cross. That was their last chance. So what we find here is kind of an indication of this is what Jesus tried to do. God was trying to tell you something through all of these signs, and they understood it, they got it, but what was happening in the world around them was so powerful and actually cast fear in their heart that they just were not able to embrace it and accept it as their own. I don't know if you are seeing any similarities in our own lives, but we should. We should be able to see something. God has been trying to tell them something all the time. Every single one of us has had at least one miracle in our lives. Think about that. Every single one of us has heard God trying to tell us something at least once in our lives. And for many of us, more than once. Repeatedly. Repeatedly. Think of those times when you have heard God telling you something, and at least for that brief moment, we got it. I got it. God, I understand what you're trying to tell me. We've been praying for a child that they would get on the right path, and sure enough, we heard an answer to that prayer. We've been praying for a healing, and we've seen God heal. We prayed that God would do something in our family, and that has happened. Or we didn't even pray, and God answered a prayer that we didn't even know we had. And things happen in our lives where we step back and we say, wow, look what God did. You've had those moments, right? Someone nod their head. Someone say amen. Someone say something. Like, I know I have. I don't think I'm the only one. And I've heard your stories. I know the miracles you've experienced. And they fill my heart with joy. And it reminds me that we're among people who are able to recognize when God is trying to tell us something, and we identify it. In John, they believe, some of them, even those who had the most to lose because they were authorities. But what happens over time with that miracle we experienced? What happens with that moment when we say, God, wow, you did something? We experience our sign, we hear it, but then the needs of this world and our life just keeps moving forward, doesn't it? It's not like all of a sudden we see everything in a completely different perspective for the rest of our lives. We should, but we don't, do we? And we either forget that moment, none of us really forget it, or at least we put it in the realm of one-time really neat happening in our lives. God's sign then goes from being the norm and God trying to tell us something, how we ought to live our lives in the present, to a neat little experience in the midst of a whirlwind of other things happening around us that then gets drowned out and not nearly as important as it did when it happened. No one here consciously says, and I know this, I'm going to trade God's glory for human glory. No one says that. No one says, I would rather have the honor of people around me than for God to honor me. We don't make that connection. It happens, But it happens subconsciously. It happens over time. It happens when life happens. And we all allow God's voice to be edged out by a life in a world which would have us focus on retirement, which would have us focus on money, which would have us focus on things, which would have us focus on remodeled kitchens or vacations or kids. And you can fill in the blank, whatever your blank might be. So all of a sudden, the new normal is that our priorities better be what our plans are for the future, as opposed to our main priority being what is God trying to tell us now in the present, which inevitably is going to change our future. So all those plans we make for our future now, if we're not listening to what God is trying to tell us, that future is going to be so different. Because if we listen to what God is trying to tell us now, it's going to have a huge impact on our future. A huge impact. And it's going to have the type of impact that we want and that God wants. So that we can fulfill those desires that God has for our lives. I remember when I was interviewing at churches, 2 years ago, and various committees would ask me, so what kind of model do you use for church growth? I had no idea what they were talking about. I had no idea. And so they tried to explain, and they would use different terms and different concepts and different theories on how to grow a church. And my response to all these interview committees were, I don't know what I'm doing. You shouldn't answer that normally when you're in an interview, but it was the truth. I don't know what I'm doing. I just try to listen to what God's voice is saying to me. And then this is the key part, not so much what God is trying to say to me, but then I try to identify and see those people who I know are in touch when God is trying to tell them something in the church. And then we get together, and then we try to hear God's voice in the midst of all that, and then make a decision, and then we leave it up to God. I don't have a strategy from a book. I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you to pray without ceasing so that you can hear what God is trying to tell you, because He is. He's trying to tell you something. But we can so easily miss what God is trying to tell us when we value too much the favor of those around us. That's what John tells us. Or even the current thinking that takes us away from God's word. Because God's desire for our lives is so very different from what the world desires for us. You know, I pray that all of us would be able to hear what God is trying to tell us. I kind of see today as the beginning of this new year. Next year, next week, we have Promotion Sunday, and things just get cranked back up. I hope you're looking forward to this next year. And as you look forward to this next year, I pray that you will spend the time that you need. I pray that you will consciously try to hear what God is trying to tell you as an individual, but even more so for our sake, that you will try to hear what God is trying to tell us for this church. May God bless us and keep us as we look to see His face shine upon us. Amen. Almighty God, we do come before you this Sunday, and we give you praise and honor and glory, because you're always trying to tell us something, and we recognize that, and we embrace that, but we also recognize that we don't always hear it. So watch over us and keep us and put us back on your path if we're off. And if we're on your path, Lord, then give us the patience that we need as we move forward. We pray this now in the loving, powerful name of Jesus our Savior. Amen.